Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
Can you get rich running a charity? Well, that's a very interesting question, and it's one I posed to Sandra Minuti, the Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of Charity Navigator, America's largest charity evaluator. I'm Christopher Springman, and Sandra, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Thank you.
Tell us about that. Can you get rich running a charity? And I guess if you're the CEO, there's an opportunity to do quite well. Or am I asking the wrong question?
You know, the answer is it depends on the charity. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions among donors about the nonprofit sector and about how charities are run. And we look at the compensation practices at nearly 6,000 charities, large and mid-sized charities in America. And I think it's important for donors to know that most of them pay a very reasonable salary to their chief executive officer of around $130,000. Again, we're talking about organizations that are multi-million dollar operations. So I think many times donors have this perception that the CEO works for free, and that's not the case. But the good news is most of them are paid a reasonable salary, and we see few half a million and million dollar salaries, which gets into the range, I think we would all agree, of unreasonable.
Excessive. One of the things I love about Charity Navigator, by the way, at charitynavigator.org, is that you publish a number of top 10 lists, best charities and ones to avoid. Is excessive CEO compensation a red flag for avoiding or evading a charity?
I think so. And as long as donors are keeping in mind what excessive is, again, you don't want to avoid a charity that pays its CEO well. I mean,
of course.
These individuals have to have multi-talents. They have to be able to fundraise. They have to have business skills. They have to have an expertise in the area of the charity's mission. So you want them to be able to get paid decently so they can focus on the charity and not have to work a night shift somewhere. But definitely, if you see a charity where the compensation is approaching $1 million, I think you do have to question the charitable nature of that institution and whether that's appropriate, and if there is another charity doing similar work that maybe is a better fit for your investment.
Well, when one goes to charitynavigator.org and looks up a charity to gather the information that we're discussing, you often will recommend on the site similar organizations doing similar work that the people might consider. That's a very, very helpful service because it's a process of discovery, isn't it?
Yes, and that's definitely what we want to encourage is donors to look for the charity that is the best fit for them, the one that they think is the most efficient and effective. But also many times donors make a mistake in giving to a large brand name organization, for example, with the word cancer in it, and they believe that the charity is all about research, where maybe, no, it's about advocacy or patient services. So that's why we offer within our site lists of similar charities so that you can really drill down and find the one that matches your particular philanthropic interest, not just cancer, but cancer research or whatever specifically it is that you want to know.
Our guest is Sandra Minuti, Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of Charity Navigator, America's largest charity evaluator, at charitynavigator.org. Sandra, let's talk about what makes an effective charity. What should one look for in terms of the percentages that charities spend on programs, overhead, and salary? In other words, programs would be the money that actually goes into fund their philanthropic efforts. Overhead, of course, you got to keep the lights on. There's rent to pay and other expenses. And then salaries. Are those the three categories that you touch upon in your evaluations?
Yes, more or less. Salaries are actually allocated across the different categories of expenses. Programs, meaning the charity's mission. Administrative costs, which is things like the CFO and insurance costs, and then fundraising. So we look at those three broad categories, and we find that of the 6,000 charities we look at, the vast majority of them are able to spend at least 75% of their budget on their programs and services, which is the whole reason you supported them in the first place, and they spend just 25% on those overhead costs. And it's important to understand that charities do have to pay, like you said, for those mundane things like keeping the lights on. They have to withhold some dollars so they can fundraise for the future. So those are valid investments, but you want to see, obviously, the bulk of the money going into the charities, programs, and services.
What is your strategy for evaluating charities? I realize you start with the IRS Form 990, is it?
Yep.
And why don't you explain to folks what the IRS Form 990 is? Because essentially, it is the basis for your research. Is that correct?
That's correct. The Form 990 is the only document that charities are required to make available to the public. And they have to provide their last 3 years of filings to anybody who makes a request. So that's a good way just to check on the charity's transparency. Ask them for a copy of their 990. If they don't give it to you, that's a big red flag. But in that annual filing that they submit to the IRS each year, they provide a wealth of financial data about their operations as well as information about their governance policies. Do they have a conflict of interest policy in place? Do they have a committee that looks at the CEO's compensation? And do they do a benchmarking analysis and a performance evaluation, or do they just set CEO pay in a vacuum? Do they have at least 5 independent board members? So these documents can be quite large as a phone book in some cases, depending on the size of the charity. And our analysts wade through them and look at key metrics, and that's fed into our rating system. And we look at 2 broad areas of the charity's performance, their financial health and their commitment to being accountable and transparent. And at the end of the lengthy analysis, we assign them a 0 to 4-star rating, 4-star being the best. And so donors on our site can quickly see how each charity rates, and if they want to see all the details behind it, we're kind of like an onion. You can peel it away and look at all the more or less raw data, or you can just look at that star and rest assured that you're making a good choice.
I have always referred to, or often I should say, referred to Charity Navigator as the Consumer Reports of charity evaluation, because you're very independent and your vote, as it were, or your listings aren't swayed by financial contributions from these nonprofit organizations. Am I correct?
That's absolutely correct. The charities don't pay anything to be rated. We wouldn't take any money from them even if they offered it. And our site is also completely free for the public to access. So if you spend any time on the site, you'll see that we are a charity ourselves, and we welcome the opportunity for you to contribute to us. But we have no relationship with the charities we rate. We work at an arm's length, and we work very hard to maintain that independence. And to, as our rating system evolves over time, to make sure that it remains very objective, so that our analysts' subjective opinions aren't entering into it at all.
You know, we're in the post-Superstorm Sandy era, and my understanding is that there's a bit of donor fatigue and kind of disaster fatigue out there. So your services, I believe, are more important than ever, because you really want to be careful and conscientious about where your money goes.
And definitely, if you have less money to give, you want to make sure that whatever you give, you're getting the biggest bang for your buck. So it's important to do your research and make sure that you're only investing in a few charities each year, and that they are the most ethical, efficient, and effective charities out there.
And you also recommend, too, that people, for example, target their funding. They say, I would like this money to go to help the folks on the Jersey Shore, for example. Will your organization address my personal needs? Is that a good idea?
That's definitely a good idea. When there's a disaster, you want to be specific with the charity and let them know that that contribution is specific for that individual crisis or disaster, whether it's Hurricane Sandy or the tsunami and earthquake in Japan. Let the charity know that you want your money restricted to help with those endeavors. Other times a year when you give, if you're making your year-end contribution, and you've done your research, trust the charity to spend it how best it sees fit.
Our guest has been Sandra Minuti, Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of Charity Navigator, America's largest charity evaluator, at charitynavigator.org. Sandra, thanks so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.